Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, warning. The show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We are so grateful that you stopped by here to be a part of our programming tonight, and we're looking forward to it. And I just want to send this cue out there to all of those of you all who are listening, that love is deeply in the air. Love is deeply in the air. And what would the world be without love? Love is deeply in the air. And Luther says it best when he talks about in his various songs, when he needs love, he just closes his eyes and he knows that the love is there. So I want to encourage all of you all that if you want love, sometimes you've got to pursue love. You've got to demonstrate love, because that's what love is all about. Now, as we've near the end of the election, we're not going to get into the politics of any party affiliations, but I just want to say to all my listening audience around the world who may have wondered how this election was going to turn out, I just want to encourage all of you all that no matter how it turns out, God is and will always be in control of everything. And no matter what happens, nothing happens unless he allows it to happen. So keep that in mind. Let's continue to stay on the path of rightness, doing the right things. And I just want to say that. And whether we have a difference in how the election may have turned out, if your party didn't win, then I ask that we still remain of humanitarian nature, and that we remain hopeful that all things work together, especially those of us who aspire to be Christians, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. So I want to just encourage you all that God's got the whole world in his hand, and nothing happens without him. All right, having said that, we are so happy that you all have joined us tonight. I'm excited. Love is in the air everywhere, and I'm just happy to be here. And I want you all to know that we're going to get to as many people as we possibly can tonight. We see the phone lines are already lighting up. Press 1, of course, on your dial. We see none of you all have already pressed 1 if you're planning to speak tonight. And I want to also say that it's important. I want to also say that it's also important that you you listen and tune in. And I want to do some housekeeping. Tomorrow night, we're doing a night of testimony. So if you've got a testimony, you want to call the show early enough tonight, like 6:55, just before 7 o'clock, press 1. If you've got a testimony that you believe that God, that will bless someone else of how good God has been to you in your life, you want to get on that call tomorrow night, please. Because people need to hear from you on how God has blessed you and, with things like that. Okay, with your testimony. Now I want to go right to my co-host tonight, Miss Camilla Cross. I'm going to bring her in, and I just want to say, Miss Cross, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Go ahead and give them your commercial.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. I'm honored and blessed to be here with you guys. Again, I'm Camila Cross. I am a licensed clinical social worker. I am a certified anger management specialist. So I do, I'm the owner, CEO of Your Worth LLC, where we do specialize in anger management, and we're now expanding to assist clients with anxiety and depression issues, especially amidst of the COVID pandemic that we're facing. But, you know, we definitely have to stay positive and just remain faithful to God and just know that, as Dr. Walker was saying, he's in complete control.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. All right. Also, I've got a book out called After the Passion. We're running a sale now. In fact, we're going from 33% off to now 50% off. For more information on that, you can send us a comment at drjessewalker.com, and we will be happy to entertain that for you. Ms. Cross, we're going to get to the story in just a moment, but tonight's topic, if you all are just joining us, is it your duty or responsibility to make your significant other happy? Is that your duty or responsibility? And before we go to the story, I want to get the thoughts of several of our people who have pressed one already. And let me first begin with you, Ms. Cross. Do you think it's your duty or your responsibility to make your significant other happy?
Well, I want to start by saying I feel like happiness starts within, but I do believe strongly that, you know, if you are with someone, you should want to see them happy, and especially if this is your husband, your wife, I feel like you, you know, it is in your best, I wouldn't say in your best interest, I know that sounds bad, but I feel like it is kind of, it is your responsibility to at least try to make your spouse happy. You know, because it's a give and take, you know. It's, if you're going to be with someone, why not want to see a smile on their face?
Okay. All right. Excellent. Let me go to the phone lines right quick before we go to tonight's story, and let's see, you know, sometimes we're going to go to a number of you all at press one. So let's go to 239-315. Is the caller there? 239-315. They press one. Is the caller there? Okay, perhaps not. They might have pressed one inadvertently. All right, then let's go to 863-241. Welcome to the Dr. Just Walk Show. You're live. Who do we have with us? All right, that call is not there either. Let's go to, all right, let's try another one here. Let's go to 865-454. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us? And welcome.
Thank you. My pleasure. Charles Frazier, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay, Charles Frazier, Knoxville, Tennessee. Thank you. Charles Frazier, let me ask you this question before we go to tonight's story. Do you think it's your duty to make your significant other happy? Your duty or responsibility?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
No,
so you believe that it is.
Happy. Happy, let me say this, Dr. Jesse. Happy is not a word that I should say yes to. Happy is for minutes and seconds and moments. Happy is not a permanent state. To make my significant other content with me being manly, yes, but happy is not a permanent state.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines also once again. Let's go to 347-740. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us and welcome?
Good night, Dr. Walker. This is Monica. So nice to be on the show tonight.
I'm so happy that you've joined us, Monica. Monica, give me your thoughts. You've got a husband. You've got a boyfriend. Is it your duty or your responsibility to make them happy, even if they're miserable within themselves?
Yes, it's your responsibility to do all that is possible, but you cannot make somebody happy. Happiness is a choice, but it is your responsibility as a spouse to do whatever you can to please your spouse so that you can have a good relationship.
Okay. All right. We want to thank you for that. And my thoughts are, and of course these are just my opinions, and we respect all people's opinions on the air. My opinion is, you know, basically that that can be a lot of work. you know, meet the person who's already happy when you meet them going into a relationship. And if they, and if that's not what they're doing or demonstrating, then I would caution you by saying, listen, you might want to reconsider that relationship, because you're always trying to make them happy can be almost like a second or third job. And the question becomes, do you want to really go and do that job after you've worked a full-time job all day and then go home and then try to, you know, work on this as another job? And, of course, I'm not saying that you shouldn't work on your relationships and do the best that you can, but when it comes to talking about your duty or responsibility, you know, let's look at the words duty and responsibility. But first, let's go to tonight's story. But just before I do that, I do want to go back to Ms. Cross for a second. Ms. Cross, I got to bring you back in here. And I want to say, when we look at the words duty and responsibility, what comes to your mind when you think about duty? This is my duty. This is my responsibility. Do men and women have roles as duties and responsibilities?
I believe so. You know, I think, when I don't know, when I hear responsibility and duty, I don't know, I feel a sense of pride. I don't. That's the first thing that comes over me, because I just think about people who perform duties and who perform responsibilities. These are usually people who are going to take pride in what they do, right? And I don't know if that's me reading too deeply into it, but I just feel that when you get into a marriage, you're trying to build a unity, some type of unity, and you know this person, they say you come together, you become one. Why wouldn't you put forth the effort to continue to build something that and make it great? You know, I think that it should be a something that you work at every day to make great. Unfortunately, you know, we know that everything is not always black and white. There's that gray area where you might marry someone that for whatever reason their abilities to be happy is tainted, and that has nothing to do with you. But I think that you should at least have tried to put forth the effort to invest in your marriage, because it's an investment, right? What you give,
yeah,
a lot of times we pray and we hope that we get back. But I just think that is something that is even deeper than just, oh, I'm just doing this because I need to do it. No, it's something that is an investment. But it's an investment that you should be kind of wanting to give willingly, because you made the commitment to be in a marriage, you know. So kind of my view of it.
Yeah, and I see it a little different. I do, and I respect that, of course, and I see it a little differently, because I don't think you can make anybody do anything, especially, I mean, even children, it's hard sometimes to get them to do anything. But we're talking about is it your duty or responsibility to make your significant other happy? All right, here we go. Our characters tonight and tonight's story are Victoria and Urban. Urban and Victoria married after dating for just over 8 months. That's important in this story tonight. They married just after 8 months. Now, in the initial stages, their marriage was filled with a lot of love coming from Victoria, which Urban seemed to enjoy. They have not talked about starting a family. Victoria was a Luther Vandross, you know, Victoria, as Luther Vandross sang the song, All the Woman I Need, okay? This is very important. Victoria, as Luther Vandross sang the song, All the Woman I Need. This is how, in fact, Urban saw her and loved every bit of how she demonstrated her love for him. Victoria's character was also that of a happy-go-lucky type woman with one of the four, what we call temperament theory or proto-psychological theory types that would be labeled as having a sanguine personality type. Okay, that's very important also. This personality type would be described as being someone who is highly talkative, they're active, they're social, and they're often enthusiastic. In other words, they've got a lot of energy. This personality trait would also be someone who is more extroverted and charismatic, who enjoys being part of a social group or crowd with outgoing tendencies. All right, that is very important. Victoria, having a sanguine personality type, has a rather hard time doing nothing and engages in more risk-seeking behavior. This really makes her happy and fulfilled. Now, on the other hand, Urban is rather relaxed, moody, with tendencies of always being unhappy. Okay, so this is very important. Victoria, for the past year of their marriage, has found herself constantly trying her best to do everything within her power to make him happy. Now, she's doing all of this here to try to make him happy. To this point in their marriage, nothing she has done seems to last, which only brings temporary results. Whenever Victoria is able to get Urban to go out, in other words, when they date, when they're going out, he's usually in a dark, gloomy mood, and his conversations reflect the same. Victoria is now depressed and feels it's not her duty or responsibility to make him happy, and his happiness should be something that is already within him. She has discussed this with him, as it often leads to an argument causing more stress and pain. She is now contemplating whether to stay in a marriage, separate, or divorce for that matter. You know, so it's becoming very hard for her. Victoria realizes that she cannot see herself being in a marriage like this with a man who is not happy within his own skin. She has suggested counseling, but Urban feels like he is not looking for anyone to try and fix him, because he does not see anything wrong with how he's behaving with her. He feels that as long as he treats her with respect and demonstration of his love, that's all that should matter. He feels his attitude does not always have to be pleasant for her to accept him as he is. Urban was not like this during their initial stages of dating. Victoria is really upset now and has scheduled an appointment with a divorce lawyer. Ms. Cross, I bring you back in. And I ask the question, should she meet with the divorce lawyer, keep that scheduled appointment?
Well, it sounds like it's really, for whatever reason, weighing so heavily on her for her to make him happy. But the thing is, I'm listening to the story, and my question is, even though he's not always, they have different personality types, right? So just because he's not always smiling, it doesn't mean that he's unhappy. We didn't say that he's miserable. You know, he probably, he may be like a stern person. He might not really feel like always wanting to be so jovial. And that's not a terrible thing either. It's just that we have different personality traits. So a lot of times, she married him. I don't know how he was. I know they said he was a bit different before she married him. But you know, if he's not, unless he's making her miserable, I don't see why she's so upset. You know, like, it sounds like, though, that if she is this upset and for whatever reason, and it's bothering her so much, and she can't see herself living with that for the rest of her life, then it's her choice to go to a divorce lawyer. But I just think that, you know, she might be too kind of, and this might sound bad, but she's too fixated on him smiling all the time. You know, like, I think she should be concentrating on living her life. You know, I just don't see where there's, like, anything, unless I missed a part of the story, where it's daunting so much on her that it's taking anything away from her. He sounds like he's in his own little world.
Well, that's all I can tell you is that is quite interesting, and that perspective. But, you know, so you're saying go through with a divorce lawyer with the scheduled appointment. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
What I'm saying is, because it sounds like it's bothering her so much, I really, like, to be upfront with you, again, unless I missed something in the story, he just seems like he's not a very jovial person, and she is. It's just two different personalities. But I know couples like that, where the wife is outgoing, she's the life of the party, and the husband sits back and have a beer, you know? And it works for them because it works for them. So I'm just thinking, like, you know, unless there's something that's so severe, if I was her, I'm just putting myself in her shoes, I wouldn't go to a divorce lawyer. But if it's weighing so heavy on her to where it's bothering her so much and she feels like she can't live with that, then that's her decision to make. You know, I never want to take that away from her, but that would be her decision to make. I don't know if she'll, you know, I don't know if it'll be a regretful decision, but it's her decision to make.
Okay, all right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Ms. Cross. Let me go to Monica. Monica, let's bring you in. Monica, quickly here. I mean, who wants to live like this? You got this jovial attitude, and then your significant other just seems to be doom and gloom all the time. You know, you didn't, when they were dating, even though you've only dated 8 months, he wasn't like this. Or, and this, of course, we're not picking on any gender because it can be vice versa. So, Monica, what do you do? Do you try to do jumping jacks and put on a clown face to make them happy? Come on, really?
Have mercy. You know, Dr. Walker, I love this show for more than one reason. And I was thinking of what you said early on about God being in control. You know, we take marriage so lightly, and because we do not seek for counseling before we marry somebody. Sometimes we see all of these signs, but we still go ahead and do it. I don't think that divorce should be the first option, or, you know, maybe she tried many things, but I think we should, you know, we should try to work things out, because it says, for the vow says, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. So I don't think that seeking a divorce lawyer or something is the right thing to do. I think we need to work on things until we find some solution.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Monica. We appreciate your thoughts. Let's try 863-241. 863-241. Are you there? 863-241. All right, perhaps not. Let's go back now. Let's go to Mr. Charles Frazier. Charles Frazier, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes, sir.
Okay, what do you think? I mean, here it is. She's trying her best. Should she have to put on a clown face to make him laugh, make him smile? I mean, he's saying, long as he treats her good and he demonstrates his love for her, why does he have to, you know, operate otherwise? Why?
He doesn't. You know what? I like my boy, that song that he has, Snoop, Living My Best Life. And, you know, people get married and they don't really know a person. So that happens, and that's a real issue a lot. But it's no need of someone if they're not, you know, they can't have some contentment to be together. If they wanted to get a divorce, roll with it. I mean, it's awful. We should, you know, get into a marriage for a commitment. But, nah, live your best life. If y'all can't be happy, content, keep it moving.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. If you're just joining us, we're talking, tonight's topic is it your duty or responsibility to make your significant other happy? Our characters in tonight's story are Victoria and Urban. They've married just after 8 months of dating. Victoria has this sanguine type personality. You know, she's enthusiastic. She has got a lot of energy. She's a happy-go-lucky person. You know, she's just outgoing. That's what sanguine personalities are like. And on the other hand, her husband, Urban, he's always doom and gloom, and he's not happy. And Victoria's doing everything within her power to try to make him happy. But the question becomes now, is that her duty or responsibility? And he's saying, as long as I treat you with love and respect, you know, then I don't have to be wearing a smile all the time. You know, I don't have to be pleasant. So, but she wants pleasant when she's with him. So that's, if you're just joining us, that's where we are tonight. Let's go to the phone lines, Alabama 205-908, and we're asking that question. Let's bring the caller in, 205-908. Welcome to the Dr. Just Walk Show. You're live. Who do we have with us?
This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Jack, thank you for joining us. Jack, what are your thoughts on that? Is it a person's duty or responsibility to make your significant other happy?
By all means. I mean, you said earlier that he wasn't like that when they were dating. I know they dated for 8 months, but he wasn't like that. I'm sure he was just as jovial as she was because he was trying to win her over and win her heart. So the courtship's supposed to continue in the marriage. I mean, the things that he did to get her, he should be doing the same thing in the marriage. And the Bible says, let's take it from a biblical standpoint, the Bible says, render due benevolence. And that means the courtship and the endearments and all of those niceties and things that you're supposed to do, you're supposed to do it towards each other. And he's dead wrong for him saying that he shouldn't have to be jovial and happy or lucky and all of that around her, but he's dead wrong because she wants happiness and he should want happiness too. Maybe he's tipping out a little bit. Maybe he's getting his happiness from someplace else. And we didn't talk about that, but if he's not being happy, if he's not giving her the happiness there, he's giving the happiness to somebody else, someplace else. So I think that he's dead wrong. His call is wrong. He's supposed to be there. And there's a gift that we talk about a lot on your show, and there's a gift of goodbye. If he can't comply, then she gives him the gift of goodbye.
Right, absolutely. So Jack, the question, is it her duty? If I heard you correctly, you're saying that it is her duty to make him happy? I mean, duty, responsibility. When I think about duty, it's almost like there's a legal obligation or a moral obligation to do, to act. And responsibility means that's your role. So with that said, is it her duty
to make him happy?
I
think it's not only her duty to make him happy, but it's his duty to make her happy. I was talking more or less from a biblical standpoint where the rendering the due benevolence one to another, and that's the courtship and the loving, the endearment, and all of those things that go along with the keeping a marriage on the straight and narrow. So if he doesn't want to do that, then, as I mentioned, she should give him the gift of goodbye. He knows what he's supposed to do because he did it before they got married. He was on task.
Right.
He was on task with everything he was supposed to do, with the flowers, the little niceties and all of that. And then all of a sudden he stopped because that's who he really is. That's his true color. I mean, you are who you are under pressure. But he knew what he had to do in order to get her. So if he doesn't love her, if he doesn't want her, then he needs to give her the gift of goodbye so she won't be miserable for the rest of her life. Miserable for the rest of her life. So he needs to do his part. Step up to the plate. Or you need to bail, brother. Either you step up to the plate or either you just bail out.
Okay. All right. Jack, we appreciate that. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to West Palm Beach, 561-396. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air? And welcome.
Good night, Dr. Walker. Good night, everyone. This is Beverly Asman. I'm calling actually from Lakeworth. It's Palm Beach County, but Lakeworth.
Okay, Lakeworth.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Beverly Asman. Let me ask you, Beverly, when I think about a duty, you know, you got legal duties and then you have moral duties. I mean, you're married to someone and they didn't act like this prior to the marriage. And all of a sudden now they're doom and gloom. And you're just doing everything that you can to make them happy. And as long as they're showing you love and respect, is it your duty to try to change them?
No, you can't change anybody. They have to want to change themselves. But, you know, some people after marriage, I'm thinking, you know, they get so complacent. You know, now I'm married. I have a home. I have a wife. I provide for my home. Then I can just chill and do what I want to do. So, you know, I don't think they should just go file for divorce like that. People take divorce too easy. Divorce should not come so easy. I saw a sign the other day that said divorce for $69. What in the world is that?
Wow.
So, you know, people just married and then divorced. That's ridiculous. That's not how God planned it. People should stay together and work it out. I believe that's how it should be. A lot of people don't see it like that, but that's the way I think it should be.
Well, that's interesting. That is clearly interesting. We're going to ask you to stand by, Beverly, from Lakeworth or Lake Wells?
Lakeworth.
All right, Ms. Croft, let me bring you back in. Okay, Lakeworth. Ms. Croft, let me bring you back in. Divorce of $69, that is, I mean, you know, is it that competitive out there with attorneys now that it's like you're going down to $69? My goodness. But that's a whole nother discussion. But so, Ms. Cross, let me bring you in and ask you the question. Here it is. I mean, I mean, let's say you have children, right? You know how, imagine how sometimes you're trying to get your children to do something, and now you're talking about an adult to make them happy, to make them happy. How can you make another person do anything, especially an adult? You know, so is that your duty? Oh, make me happy. Make me laugh. Make me laugh. If you don't make me laugh, then you know what? I'm not going to laugh.
But I think the key is that, the key word is that she was trying to do it. I think it's about the effort. You know, she was putting forth the effort to make him happy. You know, it seems that in his mind, again, I don't know if he even sees himself as being unhappy. I think that might just not be his personality. I don't know. I don't, you know, I'm still trying to dissect the story a little bit. But I don't think that, you know, I think that as a wife, as a husband, you should at least put forth the effort to make your spouse happy, you know, and on both sides. Because at the end of the day, again, you know, you made a commitment, you're coming together as one. Why be in a situation and be miserable or make the other person miserable? Like, there's no one, there's no way to win in that situation. You know, you're stuck. The only way out would be divorce, the $69 divorce. Like, who wants to? Like,
$69 divorce.
$69. That's so ridiculous. I don't think anyone goes into a marriage with the idea that, guess what, next year I'm getting a divorce. I don't really, I just never heard that before. It's so unfortunate because I feel like one of the callers was saying, divorce is just like the next option, right? Like, it's so available. It's so accessible. Like, we're just going to get a divorce. You get married 1 year, divorce the next year. You know, that's what is that? What kind of commitment is that? You don't even know what year three is going to bring. Like, you didn't even make it to year two. Like, these are growing
right.
pains. It's like you said, it's like having kids. Your kids, you're not going to always like your kids. They ain't going to do things. You know, I have teenagers now, so I'm really experiencing it. You know, they're going to do things where you're like, you know, you side-eye them. But that doesn't mean I'm going to divorce them or give them away.
All right. We're gonna take on some of the comments that have come into the studio as well. Let's go to one more time, though, before we do that. Let's go to 561-676. You're live on the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Who do we have with us? And welcome.
Good evening, Dr. Walker. It's Antoinette Arrington. How are you?
Fine.
I was
Thank
listening.
You for joining us, Antoinette.
Thank you. I came on a little late, but I heard Beverly, and I agree. You know, marriage is a commitment. It says for better or for worse. You know, and I think there's different dynamics that we have to take into consideration. You know, life takes a toll on both husband and wife, especially if you have children. And I think of, you know, Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, he says, let us consider how to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now, she's making an effort, it seems, and it does take two. However, love is long-suffering, you know, and we have to have our identity. No one person can meet our every need at every time. And I really think that's why it's so important for a person to be whole and to be identified and be fulfilled in their relationship with their creator. And when you are, then you don't really look for the other person to meet your every need. And I think that selfishness is the root to all the problems, because if one esteems the other more importantly and just tries to meet their needs, and even though you won't always be able to do that, but if you're making the effort, sometimes it's not reciprocated, and that's what causes problem. But again, remember, love is long-suffering. Like, we have our children. Sometimes they're ugly. Sometimes they're not nice towards us. Sometimes they're disrespectful, but we love them unconditionally. And I think that with spouses, we take that marriage vow for better or for worse. Sometimes there are emotional imbalances, chemical imbalances, menopause. Men go through menopause. There's many factors that we have to consider. But again, I don't think a divorce is, because you know what? I have found out, and I've lived life long enough, that where you go, there you are. And the same miserable person you are with one person, you're going to be with the next person. Maybe not in the beginning, but over a period of time, it will resurface because that's who you are.
And that is a very good point. And tonight we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to phone lines once again. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. We've got a number of comments that are coming into the studio as well. Let's go to 954-205. Welcome to the Dr. Jess Walk Show. You're live. Who do we have with us?
Ian Vincent.
Hello, 954205. Ian, thank you for joining us. Ian, thank you for joining us. Ian, do you think that it's a person's duty or responsibility to make someone else happy in life, your significant other?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay, even if that's your spouse. I mean, I don't know if you heard tonight's story, but with Victoria and Urban, I mean, she's happy. She's got a sanguine-type personality, which is filled with energy, and he's doom and gloom all the time. Do you think it's her job now to make him happy? Is it her duty, her responsibility?
No, I don't. You know, I you caught me off guard. I thought I was just going to be listening to this show.
You pressed one, but that's all right. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I believe that the last caller hit the nail on the head, and total agreement with her. So very little that I have to say. I thought I was just listening. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. And we thank you for joining us, and we'll take you out of the queue. You can continue to listen on. We'll take you out of the queue, but thank you. Let's go to 786. We've got a number. We're already down to 20 minutes left on the broadcast. Let's go to 786-489. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Good afternoon, Dr. Walker. This is Steve.
Steve, thank you for joining us. Steve, see, you got this spouse. I mean, I'm kind of confused here. I mean, when I think about duty, like they have a legal duty. If you put someone in peril, if you cause their endangerment, if you are married to them, if you're a doctor and this is your patient, if you're a lawyer and you're representing your client, these are legal duties, right, to look after your spouse and so forth and so on. But, I mean, you can actually – somebody can be out there drowning and, you know, you are a lifeguard, but you're not on duty in that area. And all of a sudden now, that's not your duty to jump in there and save them unless you cause the peril, you know, unless you cause the danger. So now when we talk about duty and responsibility, this is my job, my responsibility. Is it your duty or is it a moral duty now to make your significant other happy? I mean, I'm just trying to figure this out.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out when you put it out about this topic. And my thought is, you know, like to my wife is to love and adore her. You know, I don't look at that as a duty. I look at that as I married her, I love her, I adore her, because it's very challenging to make people happy based on maybe a mood swing or something you're doing. I don't expect my wife to make me happy. I'm going to make me happy. I'm going to do what it takes to make me. I've done that for 60 years. I'm going to do what it takes to make me happy, and she agrees the same way. So what I would do is love and adore her, and we just mingle in love and happiness and walk in the cool of the day and let that be it. And because it could be something I say that might be deterrent. She might not be happy, or something she could say that might not be happy. But we have that love there for each other forever and ever. And I'm going to do like it says, love and adore your wife. The man's going to love his wife. I'm going to love my wife, period. And all the happiness will come in between.
Okay. All right, Steve, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to take as many calls as we can. We got to get to some of these comments. But I just want to go back to Jack for a second. Ms. Cross, I'm going to bring you back in. We're going to also go to the phone lines once again. And, Jack, here it is. I mean, I hear the vows and all of these things that people are saying. And, unfortunately, 55% or more of the people are not even honoring those vows, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Well, maybe in cases of richer, but not poor, but, you know, to death do us part, and people are sometimes killing each other. People are just not watching those vows. Jack, so I'm asking, here it is. Urban has said to Victoria, I'm showing love. I'm treating you with love and respect. I don't have to be pleasant. I don't have to have this laughable attitude, this jovial attitude. I mean, if she can't live with that, then what should she do, Jack?
Well, he's saying that he's doing that, but he's doing it in his terms, on his terms, in the way that he wants to do it. But she's not feeling it the way that he's doing it. And it wasn't like – see, what makes this so different is that
if he was like that in the beginning, then she could have picked up those red flags. But he wasn't like that. He changed when they got married. That's the difference there. Now, I agree with what was said. You know, you don't just run to the divorce court and that's it. Now, you give him every opportunity. But I was serious with what I said, that eventually you may have to give the brother the gift of goodbye, because you can seek help for him. He may need some help. He may be going through some problems in his life. So let's get some counseling. Let's go to the doctor and see if there's something wrong. And if he agrees to that, then you all can go sit down and have a conversation. And then she should tell him some of the things that she's looking forward to. And then she could read the Bible to him, let him know what the Bible says about the man's role and the woman's role, and what they're supposed to do towards each other to make each other happy. His goal is to try to help her get into the kingdom, and vice versa. So that means they're loving each other. You talked about the sanguine love. We're talking about the eros love, and then the agape love that they should have towards each other and all. And that agape love, we know that's God's love. But I'm sure that she loves him, and he probably loves her too. All of a sudden, he's hit her stumbling block in his life now that he feels, now that I got her, you know, I don't have to treat her with respect and dignity and honor. But he's dead wrong. So that needs to be told to him. He needs to hear that, not only coming from her, but he needs to hear from a counselor or a pastor or whoever they're going to get to come in and sit down and talk with them. It's to that point now, because she's probably on the verge now. She's probably frustrated. She's probably hurt by all this, showing him love and empathy and all of that. And this brother don't show anything. I mean, he's all into himself. This is a selfish person. This reminds me of a narcissist person that we got at 2200 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. But anyway, go ahead.
2200 or 1600? 1600, right?
1600, wherever it is. It's in Washington,
D.C.
Right,
okay. So we got, her personality type is sanguine. Hers is a little different from, you know, it talks about the energy that she has and the enthusiasm. Jack, we appreciate you coming. We're going to ask you to stand by momentarily, and let's go to the phone lines once again. Ms. Crawford's going to get to you first.
Stand by and stand back.
Well, we're not going to use the term that some people use it referencing the Proud Boys, but we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Let's go to 772-227. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. You're live. Who do we have on the air with us? 772-227.
Mario Wilcox, a.k.a. Stat. Mario Wilcox, a.k.a.
Okay.
Mr. Stat.
Okay, we're joined by Mr. Stat. He's our statistician for our Thursday night and Friday night shows. He brings us stats on both of these shows. And Mr. Stat, it's so good to have you with us. And you got any stats for us on anything out there, and if anything to do with making people happy? Or just give us simply your opinion. Quickly, though, please.
Yes, sir. I would say this because I heard when it was referring to marriage, you have 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 5. But I'm going to scroll all the way down. It says, let the husband, the man, render unto the woman, the wife, due benevolence. And likewise, also the wife unto the husband.
That's what it said. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Excellent.
That's what it says.
Right. And Jack clearly gave us that earlier. Mr. Stat, we're going to ask you to stand by. I've got to stand by. Now I'm careful of how I say that. Jack, you've given me some nervousness over here. All right, let's go. We're going to take a look at some of the comments that have come into the studio. Ms. Cross, this first one goes to you. Is it your duty or responsibility to make your significant other happy? This male, he writes in, he says, I personally think happiness comes from within, just as it was said in tonight's story. I don't think it's your duty or responsibility to make anybody happy, for that matter. Ms. Cross, is he on point? Or we seem to be divided here on this.
I think it's a little bit of both, though, because definitely happiness starts within. Because if you could sit here and be with someone and sing and dance and put on the clown suit, as you were saying, and that person gives you no response. Because at the end of the day, happiness is a choice. So it definitely does have to start with them. But I feel that if you are in a marriage and you love you love someone unconditionally, you're trying to make it work, I feel like if there's something that's missing, you should at least put forth the effort to try to mend it, right, to try to put it together. Is it going to be successful? I don't know. But I feel like you should at least try to put forth the effort.
All right, brilliant. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's take another comment. Beverly, we're going to give you this next comment that's coming to the studio. Female, she says, my husband and I have extremely different personalities. He is really not a happy person at all, and I used to try to make him happy. She used to try to make him happy. It only caused me depression, just like in tonight's story, and I gave up on trying to make him happy and accepted him as he is. I'm not excited about that after 13 years of marriage. Talk to me, Beverly. I mean, she says she used to try to make him happy. Now she's depressed, and she just accepted him after 13 years of marriage. Is she on point?
Well, yes, she has accepted her husband for who he is, and she's on point because right now she just keeps things the way it is. She's depressed about it, which is not good, and I don't know how long she would stay in that marriage being depressed because it's not good to be depressed. But she has accepted her husband for who he is, you know, and
right.
They've been married for 13 years, so I don't know what she would want to do about it.
Okay, let's go to Antoinette and bring you in, Antoinette, and ask you the question. I mean, she used to try to make him happy. Now she's accepted him, but she's not happy about that. 13 years of marriage, and, I mean, where does the future go for them, in your opinion? What advice, if any, would you give to her?
Well, I agree with the last two callers. I think that you have to, you know, you have to accept somebody for who they are. And give them time, you know, and you know, through prayer and patience, they can change. But there are other things that she can do to find fulfillment. You know, you don't always have to find it in your spouse. And like I said, there are seasons, and it could be a season that he's going through. And so sometimes I've been through that. I've lived through that. So I personally know what that's like.
Wow.
But keep myself busy. You keep yourself busy if you have children or if you have friends or, you know, you have other things. You find things to do, volunteer, hobbies, just whatever. And sometimes it just, you know, it's just a season. You know, we go through different seasons in life and we, you know, we're not always going to be happy. You know, it's not all just about happiness. How about commitment? How about faithfulness? How about loyalty? You know, and that's just how I feel. I mean, I've been there, and sometimes you go through. He'll go through a season, then maybe she'll go through a season, and so that's my thoughts on it. I mean, unless something is dangerous, you know, your life is, you know,
right.
You know, then I think, you know, you just stay in it, and I know. Actually, I just want to share this quickly. I actually mentored with an elderly couple, and I do suggest that to anyone. And I have to tell you, I met a couple that were married 75 years. They were in their 90s, and
wow.
They were so in love. And I asked them, what is it? And I actually asked many older people, but this one particular couple, they told me that they went through bad seasons. They went through periods where they didn't like each other. And because they stuck it out, they said the problem with young people today, they don't stay in anything long enough.
They don't give it a chance.
To work out and work it through. You know, it could be long seasons, but they said, you know, you can fall in love again with someone that you despise. You know,
right.
And
we're
going to
ask
when you have that separation, they say that, you know,
right.
Just doing things, little touches, little kindness, acts of kindness
right.
are contagious and might take time. So that's my,
right.
my opinion.
We're going to ask you to stand by. We appreciate that thought. Let's go now, Stephen. Let's bring you in and ask you the question. Stephen, I mean, after 13 years, I mean, just quickly here because I got to get some more of the comments. I appreciate all of you all. But 13 years, I mean, who wants to live like that? I mean, honestly speaking, Stephen, I mean, could you see yourself living like that?
Yeah, I could. I don't know. I know how to make myself happy. Okay, for one thing, I don't need my wife, but my wife knows a certain thing. If she set me down, put on my favorite TV programs, give me some good decaffeinated iced tea and this or that, She knows that's going to make me happy for a little while, but that's only a little time, you know, to make me. She know I like certain programs. She'll do it, and boom, leave the house or something, and I'll be happy for a point in time. But I know what it takes to make me happy, and if somebody's going to get turned off because of that, you know, that's after 13 years or what have you, that's the problem they have. And something you can always find a situation where somebody's not going to be happy, you know. And it's impossible to make somebody perfectly happy, but you can commit to love to someone by indefinitely. You can commit to love someone, you know. You
all
can
right.
do that. But to try to
okay.
make somebody happy, Dr. Walker, I don't know about that. You know, continually,
I,
no.
I'm with you.
I'm
feeling you all. We're going to go to Mr. Stat. Mr. Stat, the next comment, we've got to move faster, you all, because we're almost out of time. We're down to 8 minutes. Jack, we're going to bring you in after Mr. Stat. Mr. Stat, the question here is, female writes in, she says, I've never looked for or expected anyone to try to make me happy. I am typically a happy person in my own skin. I think that's the way we are supposed to be. If you are stuck in that situation, I wish you all the best. That's some deep stuff. And if you're stuck in that situation, that's a hard word. Mr. Stat, we're getting a lot of noise from somebody's phone. Yeah. Mr. Stat, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. Well, what I'm going to say is,
okay,
if you can't, if you're not happy within yourself, how can you make someone else happy?
Yeah, and you're right. You're absolutely right.
Last I checked, when you come together, especially, I'm going to go back to marriage. The Bible says you are no longer what? Twine, but you are
one.
Right.
You are one. Mm-hmm. You are joined. And I'm going to go back to the benevolence.
Right.
Yes, with me and my wife, there are things that I do that I thought that it makes her happy. But in all actuality, things I do that I feel that make her happy, my wife pointed out, maybe I don't need that, but you know what really makes me happy is this. I'm a much simpler person. It's not like
okay.
she was ungrateful, but she let me know what makes her happy because she knows herself inside and out. And likewise.
All right. Right. Okay, Jack, let's bring you in because you and as well as Mario are talking about due benevolence that the Bible talks about, rendering that unto each other. And I'm hearing that. And let me just ask you, I mean, that's the spiritual aspect, and then there's the practical aspect, which falls upon the being human. And that human part says 13 years of I'm dealing with this behavior and this attitude, I got to come in constantly and ask you, what did I do now? What didn't I do? What did I say? What didn't I say? What is wrong with you? Why are you acting like this? Jack, come on. Do you want to go through that for another 7, 10, 20 years?
Well, a lot of times what we do, we just settle. We just settle. Like they said,
yeah.
They started out differently, and then as time went by, you know, the love kind of dissipated a bit. And they didn't show the empathy and the rendering the due benevolence and all of that to each other. But I think, like someone said earlier, yeah, it does start with the person, but both persons are there to make each other happy. You've heard me say this on your show many times. Both parties are to give 100%. It's not 50-50 because that means you're going to cut it short. But if you're giving 100%, both of you are giving 100%. So take time. To have your own space, do your things that you love, and then it should be a time set where you can do things together. That's what marriage is all about. Yes, I'm going to do something. I need my space. I need my space to be alone or do my quiet time or talk to God or whatever, and then you have your quiet time. But then there's a time for us to unite and come together and be on the same page and show that, render that due benevolence and that love and that empathy towards one another, because I married you so I want you to keep me happy, because I'm going to do everything in my marriage within my power to keep you happy. And don't stop giving the flowers, don't stop giving
okay.
the candy, don't stop buying things and all that. So we're there together to make each other happy, and that should continue. The courtship should continue in the marriage throughout life, throughout the time that you're together.
All right, Monica, we appreciate that, Jack. Monica, let's bring you in here. Ms. Cross, we're going to bring you back in momentarily with the next question, and we've got 4 minutes, you all. Monica, let me bring you in just quickly here. Monica, should she keep the appointment with the lawyer? Should Victoria keep the appointment with the lawyer, yes or no? And why? Quickly,
no.
Please.
No. No. No.
Nope.
She
okay.
should not keep the appointment.
Okay. All right.
She should try
Thank you
to
for the...
work on her marriage, like the caller said, you know, just take time to know him and do whatever is possible to make this a possibility, because you cannot make somebody happy. Happiness is a choice. So, I mean, it's
All right.
hard, but you've got to just be, stand the test.
All right. Ms. Cross, let me bring you back in. I mean, she's been working on it for 13 years, Ms. Cross. Okay, so you've been praying. How many more years will it take to get this man or this woman to smile? Ms. Cross, what do you do? Should she keep the appointment with the divorce attorney, yes or no, and why?
Ooh, that's a hard one. Because in her case, it's been 13 years. She's saying that she's depressed. This is a different situation. I do believe that, you know, with marriage, I feel like you should exhaust all options. I don't know if they've tried counseling. I don't know if you know, we can assume that
no, he doesn't want counseling. He doesn't want counseling. He does not want counseling. He says nobody's going to fix him. He's not doing anything in his sight wrong. So what does she do?
Well, in that case, he's not willing. It's about compromising. It's about trying to reach a middle ground. And if he's headstrong or not at least attempting to fulfill her needs, then there's a problem, you know, because obviously she needs to have or to know that she's fulfilling him or making him happy. You know, I do believe, though, I don't want to take away from it. I know people who have very, very serious dispositions. And them smiling is not, you know, it's not something that you're going to see very often. But then I don't know them to be unhappy either. I just know that they have serious dispositions. So I don't want to take away from the fact that just because he's not here and he's the life of the party, that just may not be who he is. So I don't know
All
the
right,
severity
we're down,
of the situation.
Right.
But,
we're down to 90
know.
Seconds. Yes, we're down to 90 seconds. Let's bring Charles Frazier in. Charles Frazier, we're going to give you the next comment that's coming in, but we're going to ask you to confine it to about 20 seconds because we'll take two more comments. This male, he writes in, he says, I've dated a woman with a lot of baggage from her past marriage. I did everything I could to try to please her, but she kept comparing me to her ex-husband, and I just decided to break up with her because she was just not happy. Charles Frazier, did he do the right thing in your opinion, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, all right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Monica, let's go to you with this next question. And this female, she says, I think it is your duty or responsibility to make your significant other happy. After all, what's the point of being in that particular relationship if you can't make each other happy? I mean, 13 years of trying and you don't make them happy, then what, Monica? Quickly.
Yes. You can't make people happy. You have to take the responsibility to make yourself happy, and then if you love each other, you will do whatever is possible to make to help to make each other happiness be maintained.
All right, thank you for that, Monica. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to Mario. Let's bring you in, female. She says, "I think it is your duty, responsibility to make your significant other." Oh, we did that one already. This male writes in, he says, I think you should do everything within your power to try to make your partner happy. If you find that you can't do it, simply move on to someone else, because I think you could spend forever trying to make someone happy who is not happy within. Now, that makes perfect sense to me. Mario, your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm mixed on that, but what I will say is I would try to make the other person happy, you know. People have their own preferences. Like, I had to find out what makes my spouse happy. She had to find out what makes me happy. So there got to be a middle ground.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Thank you for that. Ms. Claus, we're out of time. We're going to give you the final word on whether it's your duty or responsibility, and break down duty and responsibilities, if you would, to make your significant other happy. We've heard a lot on tonight's show, and just before Ms. Claus comes on, I want to remind you all, tomorrow night we're doing a night of testimonies. If you've got a testimony that you feel others can be blessed by from what God has done in your life, you definitely want to join us. And then Saturday morning, we're having the International Divine Intervention Day to show you how God has blessed humanity, and he's intervening into the affairs of man. That's Saturday morning, 6:30 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Ms. Claus has come back to you and say, now, when it comes to duty and responsibility, in 20 seconds or less, close us out. Is it your responsibility to make that person happy?
Well, I want to say that, you know, a few of the callers were saying that when you love someone, you're going to do whatever it takes to reciprocate that love. And I feel like love is enough. Love will provide the happiness. Now, if the other person is not able or willing to accept the love or accept the happiness, then that's another situation. Your hands are tied. And I know there was another caller who said that sometimes people can't give what they don't have. So if that person is not capable of loving themselves, they can't love you. They're not going to be able to provide you with that extra. Yeah. So you definitely have to evaluate who you're going to marry. You know, I know we said this a few times. Marriage is beautiful, but who you marry makes a big difference.
Amen. On that note, we are clearly out of time. Love is always in the air. All the woman I need. Keep that in mind, you all. The Luther sings it best. And you know what? That's what it is. Listen, join us here. We really appreciate all of you all joining us tonight. Please join us here tomorrow night for your one-hour inspirational program, which will be featuring. We will feature a night of testimonies. You will not want to miss that. If you're looking for a blessing, join us here tomorrow night on this same channel, 347-857-1769. Of course, you choose Bypass tomorrow night. Join us Saturday morning for an International Divine Intervention Day where we have testimony and prayer. And, of course, if you choose Bypass Saturday, join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Until tomorrow night or until Saturday morning, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Bye-bye. Good night, everyone.